Father God, we praise your holy name. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, for the holy name of Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit in our life. And Father, you said in your word, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, for all authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life, all God has done us, for this good and excited of God our Savior, who'd have all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, that is Christ. That is man Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I will, therefore, that men pray for lifting up holy hands out raft of doubting. So, Lord, we thank you for our president, vice president, senators and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court justices, federal, state, and local judges, governors, mayors, police officers, the armed forces, the FBI, the CIA, DHS, for everyone's authority over us, Lord. We claim our salvation and deliverance, that we thank you, Father God, that labors grow across their path. To witness to them, Lord, to pray for them, to intercede for them, stand a gap for them, to help them, Lord, follow you and make the right decision for our nation. And Lord, we pray for the nations around the world, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, and then you come. And Father God, we pray for all those laborers out there, those missionaries, those apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and co-laborers, that they preach your word in season out. Thank you, Lord, for anointing them and equipping them to do the work, Lord Jesus Christ. That every day more sinners are receiving Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And every day more believers are being filled with the Holy Spirit and being taught about who they are in Christ Jesus and going forth and ruling and reigning in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing me today that I'll be able to say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance of the Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word and hear from the Holy Ghost, we'll go forth and become doers of your word and led by the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray this together. God, I thank you. Jesus is my Lord, to the glory of God the Father, that every day of my life I please my Heavenly Father. For I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk in the God kind of love, and I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus, and I'm an heir of Abraham's blessing. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out, because Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Okay, let's open our Bibles over here to the Gospel of Luke. While we're going there, why don't we stop by here in Mark chapter 11. Now, Jesus said here in Mark chapter 11, beginning here in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Then he wanted to say here, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever saith this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things there are when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And then here in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said this in beginning of verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel for every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents and drink a deadly thing that shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands and sickness shall recover. Soon after the Lord had spoken to them, as received up to heaven, set the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Then here in Luke, as you're going there, let's go here to Luke chapter 10. Now notice here what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 10. Now verse 19. Jesus said this, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now notice here that Jesus said, I give you power. That means authority over everything that would try to hurt you, or to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Jesus defeated the devil. And actually, Jesus translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, a lot of us grew up in a church where we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, actually, Jesus' kingdom has come. It dwells in each believer. You know, it's sort of a model prayer that we start out by worshiping God and approaching God. But also, we go to God in Jesus' name. Remember, Jesus said in that day, referring to the day he was going to leave physically, he said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Or one translation says, you shall not pray to me. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. See, God's your Father. I mean, he's God to the world, but he's our Father. And you want to approach God as your Father. Everything the Father has belongs to you. He didn't withhold anything. And he defeated everything that would try to hurt you. It's already been defeated. So you want to approach, or when any problems come to you, you want to look at it that it's defeated. It's under your feet. Everything that Jesus did, you can do as a believer in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said so. He said here in John chapter 14. I think this, when I first heard a minister read this scripture, I just never heard anything like this. But here in John chapter 14, Jesus said this in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. And the minister was reading the scripture, said, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe on him? And the congregation said, amen. If you do, he said, lift your hand. I lifted my hand, I believe on Jesus. Now he said this, the Lord goes on. The works that I do, shall he do also. Who? He that believeth on Jesus. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And Jesus said this, didn't he? So we're to do his works as the church, as the body of Christ, and greater works. You know, that kind of gets you to scratch your head a little bit thinking about greater works. Well, like one minister said one time, well, Jesus never got anybody born again, and you get somebody born again, you're doing something greater than he did. We're not greater than Jesus, but he gave us his name. And we do it for his glory and for his honor. Every time we get someone saved or we witness somebody, and God does all of it, but you understand. Now, Jesus said this in verse 13, and whatsoever he shall ask, or that word also means demand, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, here's Jesus telling us here that we can do this in his name. He told us we could. And you know, to a religious person, a religious mind, that's really hard to believe. But we can believe it because Jesus said so. And this same chapter, Jesus said here in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So is he going to do that someday? No, he did it, right? Not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it what? Be afraid. So, you know, we read this a few months ago, but it bears repeating. We're not to let our heart be troubled or be afraid of anything. Because why? Because Jesus defeated everything. And really, nothing has any power over you or in your life because of what Jesus did for you. Jesus gave us power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. He defeated the enemy. He defeated all of Satan's kingdom. There wasn't anything Jesus left undefeated. So actually, anything would come to your life is powerless. And you need to look at it that way. He said in this 16th chapter, in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Remember 1 John chapter 5 says, this is victory overcome the world, even our faith. We're world overcomers. Now Jesus said, tribulation comes, problems come, but we're to be of good cheer because Jesus defeated everything. So when it comes to depression, it's been defeated. When it comes to sickness, it's been defeated. When it comes to poverty, it's been defeated. It's underneath your feet. And you want to, anything that comes to you, the first thing you want to think of is this is already defeated. If it's anything negative, if it's destruction, it's been defeated by Jesus Christ. All the power that Satan had, Jesus defeated him. He conquered death, hell, and the grave just for us so we can live in victory. And Jesus said, I give you my peace, not as the world. So the world has peace as long as everything's going great. But Jesus is peace in the midst of anything. You're to have peace because it's in your spirit. The peace of God, past understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we have joy in our spirit. And so we need to always realize this, that Jesus said, and nothing shall by any hurt you. Jesus doesn't want you hurt emotionally. So you want to stand against any emotional hurt that comes to you. You know, to stand, you know, in Bible school, I knew I need to stand against poverty. And I need to stand against sickness and disease. But I knew anything about emotions. You know, if they said anything about it, I missed that day of school, or you know what I mean. I mean, I didn't, but. And so, you know, I got hit with some emotional things. And, you know, and thought I had a reason to be emotionally mess. Because look what happened. But you know, that's all been defeated by Jesus Christ. He didn't want anything to hurt you. You never let your emotions get hurt. Any negative feelings, you've got the victory over. You're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. You don't have victory over that, do you? You're supposed to enjoy that. So I didn't know that. If I did, you know, it's no one's fault my own. I had a Bible, didn't I? I read these scriptures, you know. And sometimes you read scriptures, you know, and or hear ministers say things, but you didn't quite get it. But all along in the Bible, not only was I healed, and not only was I prosperous, and you too. But you're to have the peace of God. A person has a revelation of the joy and the peace of God, you can't tell there's anything going on. They act the same all the time. You can't tell that they're in a mood or they're upset about anything. And you know, we can control all of our emotions. We just think we can't. So I didn't think I could because look what happened. And so that's a reason to cry. I mean, look what happened. I didn't tell people this, but look what happened. And so, I mean, you'd have to be crazy not to cry. You'd have to be some hard-hearted person not to cry. But see, it was depression. It was fear. It was worry. Worry's been conquered. Fear's been conquered. Worrying is fear. You're worried about the future because you're afraid. And you know what, something? Sister, you could have gave me scriptures. And they just rolled off me like water off duck's back. You know what I mean? My mom always used that term. It didn't penetrate me. Yes, you may have loved me, but you gave me scripture. But you don't understand my problem. See, I know that scripture, but you don't understand my problem. I know, but you haven't been through what I'm going through. Now, I never said this stuff as far as I know, but I thought it. You know something? You remember Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, and it's in the other Gospels, the sower sows the word. I wish this had been the first message I'd been taught when I got born again. I wish someone would have said, now you're going to leave church tonight, and by the time you get home, the thought's going to come to you, you're not saved. You know, tonight when you prayed that prayer? Because all, I don't think I got out of the sanctuary, but I know by the time I got home, I didn't know it, but the devil went home with me, with thoughts. Now, those other people in that church, they are saved, but you're not, because look what you've done. Well, so I don't know any scripture. I don't know John 3:16. I don't know Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I don't know any scripture, you know, and it is pretty convincing. So I just kept asking Jesus to save me. Every day, I just ask Jesus to save me. I get born again. You know, you can't, but I'm trying to go by some feeling, I guess. You see, the devil beat me up because I didn't know scripture. And I've heard people say, well, since the day I've, have you ever heard ministers say this or Christians? Since the day I've been saved, been born again, I've never doubted my salvation. I doubted my salvation before I left church. But I've heard people. And I've heard people, like Brother Fred Price say, I never worry. And I believe these people are telling the truth. I don't believe they're lying. But it didn't make a difference. You're not to worry. And the way you can not worry is know that it's been conquered. The reason that you're not to be sick is Jesus bore your sicknesses and took your diseases. So you approach it that way. No, my Father God doesn't want me sick. Because Jesus bore my sickness and diseases. He took them. There's no sense both of us taking them. And Jesus, just before he left, physically, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to give you my authority. I'm going to give you my power. And I'm going to give you my peace. Peace. Peace of God. Everyone in the world is looking for peace. I don't mean peace from war. I mean peace that's in your spirit, in your heart, the peace of God. Now, the world has peace as long as everything's okay. But as soon as something happens, their world's upside down. Well, now, that's how I was living as a Christian. I was living in world peace and not Jesus' peace. I was doing okay until something happened. And it knocked the props out from underneath me. Why? Because I didn't have myself established on promises. Not in that area. And so the devil is able to beat me up emotionally. But Jesus said, nothing should by any means hurt you. Did you hear what Jesus said? Nothing. That's your attitude. Nothing hurts me. You don't allow pain in your body. You jump on it right away. You don't like anything. You don't allow anything to come to your mind or emotions that would hurt you. And right then, you resist and say, no, you're defeated. Jesus defeated you, worry. Jesus defeated you, fear. Jesus destroyed the enemy in his kingdom. He defeated him. He spoiled principalities and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. A mature Christian has a revelation that they're delivered, they're redeemed, they're prosperous, they're a child of God, they're in Christ, he's in them, they rule and reign, and they go forth and act just the way that Jesus acted. You remember when they woke up Jesus and said, what, carest thou not that we perish? Where was he at? He'd already said, let us pass over the side. And we use that every time we travel as believers. We'll say, you know, wherever we're going, I'm going there and back in Jesus' name. No problems with the car, no traffic glitches in Jesus' name. My car, my whatever you've got, vehicle or unperfect in Jesus' name, and I'll go there and come back. I mean, on a flight, on a bus, or anything. That's as soon as things we say in Jesus' name because we're believers. And Jesus had said there in Mark chapter 4, let us pass over the side. He goes in the hind part of the ship, sleep on the pillow. Now, what amazed me, but when a minister taught me Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word, the Bible said Satan comes immediately to take the word out. You know, that's not when you get out of church. That's right now while you're sitting in church. He doesn't wait till you get out of church and then tries to take the word out of you. A minister could be preaching on healing. And you'll sit and read, you could be in a Gloria Copeland healing school and hear her read a dozen healing scriptures. This one time, there's Brother Copeland, Gloria Copeland, a guy I know, a pastor, he invited them to come and preach at this building. It wasn't his church building, but they need a bigger place. And so Brother Copeland preached first, and that place is packed out. Well, the next morning, Gloria's going to teach. And she's going to teach on healing. And I mean, unless the Lord tells her something else. And I watched people. Now, this is like a four-day meeting. And it was ministers. So, you know, not that other people weren't there, but this is a minister's thing. And so I watched guys, you know, and they just sit there because it's not Kenneth. And she wasn't funny. And she wasn't whatever. And she just kept reading and reading and reading and reading, you know. Now, I'm jotting them down because I'm going to use them. I don't care if the preachers use them. If it's a verse, I want it. And I thought to myself, now by the Friday gets here, these guys are going to be taking copious notes because they're going to teach you when they get home. He's going to pack the auditorium out, but she's going to give you so many scriptures, you can hang the devil with them. Oh, by Friday came. Oh, yeah, guys got their notebooks out, these pastors, you know, and some of them from real big churches. Why? Because Sunday morning they got their message. Those people are going to be so impressed. They got 67 scriptures on healing from Exodus all the way to Revelation. So they got them in a few services. They're going to dump on their congregation in one night or a service. See, the whole thing changed. They realized, wait a minute, this is God's word. Well, see, now you could have came along to me with some scripture about, you know, Jesus doesn't want me crying. You know, he doesn't want me hurt. And that just wouldn't have affected me because I didn't have a foundation in it. In Jesus' name. I mean, you're just supposed to have your feelings hurt. I mean, look what happened. And there's just people, bless their hearts, in the world, that even Christians, that think you're just supposed to be sick. They think it's preposterous. If you say Jesus doesn't want you sick, God doesn't want you sick. First of all, most of my relatives that's born again believe it's just God's will to be sick. He probably did it to you. And the world believes that, and the Christian world believes that, well, it's not from the devil. Yeah, that cancer, that's from the devil. That head cold or whatever it is from the devil. Well, they couldn't help it that they're sick. Why, they go to church. Why, what do you mean from the devil? Who do you think depression's from? I wasn't depressed because what happened to me. I was depressed because I accepted it. And as long as I'm in it, God can't help me. As long as I want to carry the worry and the fear and depression, then I limit God. Didn't the children of Israel limit God? Wasn't the promised land made for them? But the Bible says in Psalm 78, they limit the God of Israel. Well, I did too. My father God. Like the Lord said to me one day in my spirit, I didn't hear an audible voice, how long, much longer song are you going to worry about this? And I had this year calendar on the wall between my kitchen and my other room, whatever it was. And it's got 12 months on it. I put my meetings on there. And I looked at that. I'm looking at that. And why don't you pick out a day you're going to turn this over to me? Well, I thought to myself, I should just do it now. And it came to me, you sure you want to do it now? How about worrying about it a little bit longer? Because look what happened to you. I was a fool. I did all this worrying, all this crying. And scriptures were in the Bible that I wasn't using. Oh boy, I'd have fought poverty. And I'd have fought lack with the sword of the Spirit. And I would have fought off sickness and read my healing scriptures in Jesus' name. But what about the peace scriptures? Well, that's for women. Peace? Men don't have peace. Men take your top of your head off. Men are masculine. Men are tough. No, men are emotional wreck. You're emotionally unstable if you're worrying. And I never knew that. See, we think we're word people. See, we think, well, we may know some scripture, but do we have it in our side of our heart? And all that time, the devil's beat me up emotionally. You know, people are probably praying for me, loved on me, but I'm not taking these scriptures and fighting my way out of it. Jesus said, I'm not giving you the peace of the world, I'm giving you my peace. You know, they're happy as long as they're happy, but in the midst of anything, you've got the peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And see, God wants our heart. Men's hearts will fail them if fear is coming. Things are going to happen. Now, see, that's what this is going to do to you. You're going to watch the news and watch this and watch this, and he gets so you don't even believe your prayers are being answered. Here you're praying for people. I got so I was believing this more than I was my prayers. No. We pray. And we stand fast in Jesus' name. And we believe it's done in the name of Jesus. And anything comes to us that tries to wreck our emotions, it's not to hurt us. It's to be resisted in Jesus' name. The devil's whole plan is to wreck your life emotionally. He can't do it financially. If he can't do it physically, then he's going to work on emotionally. Or work on all of them. I mean, he's worked on everything in me. And that's why you have to have the Word of God to keep fighting it off in Jesus' name. And teach your children to do the same thing so they're not hurt. I mean, one of the biggest problems today is people is emotionally a wreck. And they can't realize that this is a demon spirit that came against them. And you can medicate people and thank God for all the stuff that medicine does. But that's not the solution to the problem. Some people have been bipolar for 40 years. Because they've never been taught to fight it off. Good people. And they'll do just fine for a while. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're not taking their medicine or whatever. No, this is a demon spirit that got in. He gets in through fear, afraid of something, wreck a person's mind. You know, the whole idea is a madman and Gadara run around naked like this, and they can't chain him up. This is how this devil got into him. And Satan will come, and he'll bring worry and fear and doubt and unbelief. And when it comes, you just got to face it and just say, Jesus told me you were coming. But I want you to know Jesus defeated you. Jesus said tribulation would come. But Jesus also told me he defeated you. And you just got to talk to stuff that comes to your house in Jesus' name. Jesus warned me and said you'd show up. Forgive me for pointing. Jesus warned me and said you'd show up. Just by yourself in your own house. Just like Satan's right there, you could see him. Jesus told me about you. He told me you'd come. Remember he said the thief cometh, doesn't he? But for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come, right? So they both show up, Jesus and the devil. And what you do is you use that authority that God gave you in Jesus' name. And when they woke up, Jesus said, carest thou not to perish? Jesus, the hind part, ship asleep on the pillow. Now this storm is so, remember, it was so big, it's filling the boat with water. You ever been on a boat? And he's on the hind part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they woke him up and said, carest thou not that we perish? Aren't you worried we're going to die? No, he wasn't. He was asleep. He slept through a storm. Did you ever wake up in a storm? Physical or a problem? Paul and Silas are at jail at midnight and they sang praise to God. And God got them out of prison. See, God gave us his word. You know, over here in Philippians, please go over there with Philippians chapter 4. You know, you pray the prayer of faith, and we read there in Mark chapter 11. But the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known, men, the Lord's hand. Be careful for nothing. Well, some translation said, don't worry about anything. But in everything. Now we are to do something. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? As soon as you lose your thanksgiving, you're out of faith. And now you have no defenses. You don't have your shield of faith up to quench all the fiery darts of wicked. As soon as you start crying, you stop praising. And see, that's what I did. And to live in victory, you can't do that. You got to keep thanking God and praising God. Let your requests be made known to God. And if you'll do this, look what happens. And what will happen? And the peace of God. And the what kind of peace? Peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've been around people, Christians, ministers, that had so much peace, it was amazing. Stuff that was going on, you'd have thought that they were oblivious of it. But they practiced peace. They practiced joy. They may have been going through, Satan was doing all he could to discourage him. But they act like they were just drunk on peace and joy and victory. You ever see someone that's drinking? Everything's fine. Till the next day. But see, with God's word, you can live this way. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How are you going to have this peace? Well, finally, my brother, what's the things are true? What's the things are honest? What's the things are just? What's the things are pure? What's the things are lovely? What's the thing good and important? They're being virtue, being praised. Think on what? Now that takes some work. Because you want to think about the problem real bad. I mean, how could I handle if I don't think about it? Well, I just, you know, if you'll make your mind start listening to your mouth. See, your mind will start listening to your mouth. And as you quote scripture, it's got to listen to it. Thoughts were coming today, you know, as I went outside early this morning, taking Rex for a walk. Bird likes Rex. She wants to, brother, if you're any babysitter, let me watch Rex. So praise the Lord. So I'm out there walking, all kinds of thoughts. Just yucky stuff. Not sinful thoughts, just depressed thoughts started coming. So I'm watching myself. So I'm walking him, or maybe he's walking me. So, and I started quoting a scripture, sister. And sweetheart, as long as I quote that scripture, my mind was thinking about that verse I was quoting. So I tried to quote some scriptures my mind wasn't too sure it knew. You know, some more complicated ones. You know, so just while Jesus was very last, whosoever saying mountain, not that one. Yet I did that one. Oh, sorry, one that's more, I got to think about what it really says. Oh, now mine's starting to think. Now, what's it really saying now? Does it say they or those? Well, see, now I notice I'm walking him, and see, I got myself off that stuff I was thinking about. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He wants you to have joy and peace and everything. Don't do what I did and neglect those scriptures. Grab a hold of them. Use them. Don't cry. Rejoice, because God's working. He's doing something. The devil's a liar. And you tell Satan in Jesus' name, you're defeated. You can't, whatever he's trying to do, you can't do it. Because, now listen, because I forbid you to do it in Jesus' name. Now, I'm pointing, but I'm not pointing at you. You talk to him and say, I forbid you in Jesus' name to do this. You got me? And you just have to do that in Jesus' name. I forbid you in Jesus' name. And just talk with authority. Like Jesus spoke to that storm. I mean, come on. If you never saw something like this, this is crazy. You wake him up. You want him to do something. At least we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going down. And Jesus just stands. That's how you do it. Just pretend like you can see Satan. And you're saying, Jesus, in your house, in your car. You just say to him in Jesus' name, no. In Jesus' name, I take authority of you. I bind you in Jesus' name. You can't do it. You can't have it. Jesus defeated you. You have no power. Yea, though I walk through a shadow of valley of death, I will fear no evil. You know what I did? I didn't walk through it. I camped out in it. I camped out in depression. A word person. I didn't walk through it. I stopped. Set up camp. Build a house. You build a house, brother? No, you know, I stayed in it. He has a home I didn't know he had. No, I lived there. He's got a home. So that's what I did. But that's what the 23rd Psalm said. And that's the Old Testament. You're facing the devil's defeated and everything's defeated. And even then, we were told, if you're in the old company back then, you were told, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For thou art with me. Well, not only he's with us, he conquered it. So this is a whole different picture. Not only Jesus is with us and in us and for us, he conquered it. The shadow has no power. You were just to be, all of a sudden you turn around and saw your shadow or something, or something was moving. Well, shadow has no power. It may have scared you, but it didn't have any power, and it shouldn't have scared you because it's powerless. I've seen things that look like stuff, haven't you? In the woods. You know, Rex is real big, you know, we're out walking one day. I'm babysitting, you know, we're out walking one day and we're just going through, oh, he's so happy and he's off the leash, you know, and he's going through this, you know, he's just, yeah, this is my neighborhood, you know, and I live here and I'm the head dog, and you know, and I, and all of a sudden, and I'm looking, and he's, I'm thinking, what does he see? Remember that Dunkin' Donuts there? I saw you one time. It's across the street from there. It was a concrete dog. I mean, who in the world has them? I mean, why would you even get a concrete dog, you know? And it had a basket of bouquet in its mouth. You know, I guess you put, and Correct seat was real, you know. And, oh, yeah. See, he's just like this, you know. Just Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen, used to tell a story. He had a dog. He'd go out riding his bike with this dog. He had a, I don't know, the dog's name King or something. He's got a real big name, you know. And we're going on. All of a sudden, his dog ducked his tail, and a little chihuahua came up. Rum, 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 and ran my dog away, you know. And the Lord said, that's what you've done to the devil. You let him run you away. So I was believing God for healing and health and prosperity and camped out in the valley of the shadow of death, of depression. Lived there. A word person. Living there. See, living there. Staying there. I'm not walking through it. I'm stopped. I didn't take Jesus' peace and joy and victory, and I allowed this to hurt me. And had a Bible all along. So you can hear the word and not do it. And that's what I wasn't doing in that area. And many dear people, bless their hearts, good Christians, sweetheart people, are defeated today in some way because there's just a verse of scripture away from victory. In this covenant you've got is victory over everything. Find some area that you don't enjoy in victory. Enjoy. And join those ranks of people, very few though, that can say, I've never worried. Since the day I found some scripture out about worry. I've never had a day of depression. I never have blue Mondays or blue Tuesdays or whatever. And you start out just by taking it one moment at a time. One day at a time. Until you get like a year goes by. You just get your counter and just check it off every day. I beat this day. I beat depression. I resisted it. I resisted worry today and fear today. And get the place you can actually look at the calendar and 365 days went by. And if you can do a year, you can do your whole life. If you can do a day, you can do your whole life. But you're going to have opportunities like we all do. Jesus warns you. Tribulation comes. Tests and trials come. The devil comes. But he's defeated. He has no power. And you can boldly say to Satan, you have no power. You have no authority in Jesus' name. And use those scriptures God gave you. Find scriptures and just keep quoting them in the name of Jesus. You've got joy in your spirit. You've got peace in your spirit. Let it rule you. The peace of God. Follow peace. And the peace of God is to rule us. You know, here in over here in the book of Isaiah, a lot of us, you know, in the body of Christ, we memorized this one and maybe didn't even knew where it was at. Or couldn't tell anybody unless we look in our concordance. But here in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, the Bible says here in verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on what? On God, right, thee. Because he trusts in thee. So it goes right back to what the New Testament said. You think on those things are true and honest and just and pure. And you meditate on those. And you keep thinking about what the Word says about this problem in Jesus' name. I mean, you know, Rex didn't know any better. He doesn't realize that concrete dog has no power. To him, it's a real dog. And to me, I had a real problem. That's why I'm crying. But the Lord was trying to help me. He's bringing me His Word. Bless His heart, He doesn't want me to cry. Who wants to see someone cry? I mean, God doesn't worry. You know, you don't want to see God worrying. God, are you worrying today? What's wrong? He doesn't worry at all. He laughs at his enemies. And we'd do well if we'd laugh at the devil and what he tries to suggest. Are you crazy? Jesus defeated you. No way in Jesus' name am I getting stressed out over this. You're defeated. In Jesus' name, people will pride themselves on worry. Well, of course I have to worry. Look at the thing I'm faced with. What would you do? And see, I just thought people that didn't worry were hard-hearted. They weren't into reality. But see, God's word's perfect. It never fails. And so remember, Jesus taught us, and so or so is the word, that when we hear the word, Satan comes immediately. I've been sitting in services and listened to minister preach the word. I mean, it was excellent. It was just, you know, scriptures I needed, scriptures maybe I knew. And the thought came to me, well, this isn't for you. Because look how long you've had it. And you've been prayed for by everybody. And so, oh, okay. And tried to enjoy the rest of the message. Well, you've always tithed. So this couldn't be for you. Because it's never worked, right? Oh, yeah. You'll get your needs met. But not abundance. And folks, I've sat in services. In every service, the devil shows up immediately. And sometimes convinced me it wasn't for me. Though I didn't say anything about it. You find scriptures that promise you something, they're for you. You're to believe them. You're to act on them. Don't do what I did. Believe him. Receive him. It has made a difference if the greatest preachers in the world prayed for you. You're redeemed and healed because the word says you are. It doesn't matter what happened to you. If you never had a prayer answered, God's your Father. He's delivered you. Not going to someday. He's already done it. And you want to accept all promises. Believe all of them. Receive all of them. Don't make the mistakes I've made. And for some reason, allow the devil to talk you out of it. You with me? Receive him. Don't get upset and get offended by it. Because Satan comes. He just comes immediately. He doesn't wait till you even get out of the service. I used to think he'd wait till you got in the car and on the way home, you know, your husband or wife or somebody bring up something. Well, what did you think about the fourth offering? Well, I hadn't thought anything of it, but now that they brought it up, you know, like this pastor said, you ever realize you've been in this town for 8 years, so-and-so said, and you get here every week, you're so faithful and only got two people? Well, I hadn't thought too much up, but I started thinking about it. I didn't used to think. And I was better off when I didn't. And you know, and he said some complimentary things, and you're... And then he kind of, you know, put himself down. But I've got 300 people, and I just came. And don't you think if God was with you, you'd have more? I didn't think about it, but I started thinking about that. That's right. That's, well, hold it. I didn't tell him, but I went home with this. So I thought I'll just plan and escape. I've tried. I guess God isn't with me on this. And I'll just slip out of it. You ever plan your escape? I planned a lot of escapes. No one knew it. But in my mind, it's just going to gradually just drift away. You want to do it suddenly, everybody think you're offended. So it's just gradually, you know. That's how everybody leaves the church or does something, follows the devil. It's just gradually. I'm thinking about, you know, this, and that's when I pulled up in front of that church. And I got this rebuke and information from the Lord. You do what I tell you to do. You got to realize, folks, I'm reading the same scriptures over and over in every service. How would you like to go to service and they read the same scripture every time you went to the guy's meeting? I mean, some ministers get to preach some stuff that's pretty fancy. They've got a whole series on it. The minister asked me today, you have any series? I go, no. You got any books? I go, no. How long have you been in the ministry? I thought, wow, I don't have any series, do I? And I don't have any books. You know? Well, the point is, it doesn't make what it is. If the devil gets you thinking about something else other than these scriptures, you're on the wrong trail. I did that. It's wrong. Don't do it. Oh, see, you know, well, I was trained about poverty and sickness and disease and cast down those thoughts, you know. But what about this other stuff? I didn't do nothing with it. I just camped out there. I stayed in the valley, the shadow of the valley of death. I lived there. But the thing is, whatever it is, it's a bondage, it's a bondage. Some bondages you can see, and other people you don't see it. Unless the Spirit of God show you to help and get them delivered. And then I started that, I know that verse. Yeah, I know that. I know that. Well, hey, Jess, you doing it? I suppose. I'm a doer of the word. I was in Bible school, you know, and I must have been thinking about quitting or doing something. Brother Aiken's up on the platform teaching. His classes was the same class every day, same stuff, you know, telling 40-year-old stories. He walks down to the platform. I'm on the front row, stands in front of me and said, there's no one as stupid as you are, and walked on. And I'm sitting next to a friend of mine, you know, and he's looking straight ahead. He wouldn't even turn his head at me. He goes, Rich, was he talking to you? And I go, and then Corsetta, the lady always keeps sending her little girl down every single morning, 5 days a week, to borrow coffee, the instant coffee. I buy a little container, you know, the cute ones, like they have at convenience stores. You know, I didn't have any money to get the whole thing. Bird wouldn't help me then. And so, how come you never sent me any coffee? Boy, you had yours. What are you doing in the back row back there? Did you backslide? So, they start getting further away from the front. You got to watch out for them. She's planning her exit. I'm buying that bird. So, Corsetta would send Coran down in the morning, and just 5 or 10, 15 minutes before he woke up. The good sleep. And she won a spoonful of coffee. And it's 3 floors up. I just reached out one day and handed her the jar. That's it. There's no coffee for me, you know. I used to be an addict, you know. So, and Corsetta, you know, this gal prays. She come down to my apartment one day and knocks on my door, and it's like an authority knock. Is this the landlady? Wonder what that was about, you know? And so I go to the door, and she marched herself, she's every bit of this tall, marched herself there and backed me up the wall and pointed her finger at me and gave me this huge lecture, Jesse Rich, who do you think you are, think about quitting and leaving? I hadn't told anybody. She's upstairs praying, and the Lord sent her down. Now, I've got a lot of rebukes, you know? But see, now, I hadn't said anything because, you know, you don't dare confess it. But you can sure think about it, can't you? You can think about your escape or whatever it is. I'm quitting. I've got reasons here too. I've got a whole list of them right here. They don't pay enough. I've got these bills. I got this. I got that. I got this and I got that. But you also got someone who lives inside of you. He's not going along with it. Well, what am I supposed to do then? As my mother would say, God rest her soul, pray tell, what was I to do? Are you saying that you don't think I'm a good Christian? Most everybody else in the body of Christ, they got a hold of the word. They didn't go through, you know, they didn't put up stuff I put up with. You don't put up with fear and worry. You don't let stay. You're in a trial, you walk through it. You use your weapon, the word of God, and you fight your way through it. Don't pull this Jesse Rich thing and camp out in sorrow. Put on a good front, but living with it. Eating you up. You're like a clown. You know, you're happy in front of people and go home crying. Whatever the reason would be. No. We activate our covenant. We go home. We walk in that house and we start talking to Satan and reminding Satan, my prayer has been answered. I got it in Jesus' name. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're defeated. All that thing you're trying to bring up, it's all defeated. And you talk back to all those thoughts that come. It's a lot of work, but you're not wasting your life. You're getting miracles from God. By doing so, you got God fighting with you as long as you fight. So don't be like I was and just allow the devil just to beat you up emotionally. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing, 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 nothing. No hangnail, no tripping, no emotional problems, no, you know, loss of sleep or worrying about this. No, nothing, 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 nothing means everything, nothing at all shall hurt you. No, no hurt, no hurt, no hurt, no hurt, no hurt, no hurt. Nothing hurts. Nothing hurts. Nothing hurts me. Nothing hurts me. Nothing hurts me. There's no pain in my body. There's no pain in my emotions. In Jesus' name, Jesus healed the brokenhearted. I'm healed. I'm delivered. No pain, no pain, no pain, no pain. The world lives by no pain, no gain. Well, we've gained it all, and we have no pain. You walk up the steps, there's no pain in my body in Jesus' name. Problems come to you, there's no emotional pain in my life in Jesus' name. And you just have to, remember you go home, you point your finger at Satan, you tell him. Jesus told me you were coming. Do like my mother and Sister Horton, shake your finger. Jesus told me you were coming. There was some place a few months ago, I don't know what it was. Sometimes you will do something right. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on. And we do it every time in Jesus' name. It just kept ding-donging me. The devil did. I wasn't going someplace. So finally, I just said, well, you go. Come back and tell me how it was. You're getting on me that I'm not going. You go. I mean, he just wouldn't shut up. I didn't know what else to say to him. It got real quiet. He never brought it up again to me. He'll just pester you and pester you and pester you over anything. And just ding-dong you and ding-dong you until you answer him back. And you're to answer back with the Word of God. And God promised here he'd keep you in perfect peace, perfect peace. God's stuff is perfect. James said the perfect law of liberty. It's a perfect law. There is no laws in this world that are perfect except God's word. Gravity's not perfect. You know, you're taught in school what goes up must come down. And that's not true. Not everything does that. Because there's something that supersedes it. The law of lift and thrust. And it will override the law of gravity. But there's nothing that overrides God's word. It's final on everything. In Jesus' name. And you have to look at it that way in the name of Jesus. And just keep doing the word. That verse of scripture that you're using, you keep doing it until it works for you. And you stay with it. Did you hear me? Whatever it may be. I start out with the tithing scriptures to prove them out. To believe God, get a job. The thing is not like one of the first areas. I got to get the, you know, thank God for the preacher and thank God they read him in the services and told me about tithing and giving. Hallelujah. But I got to get these scriptures to work for me. I got to get a job. And you just keep doing the word till those verses work for you. And your attitude to Satan and that problem that you're faced with is you have no choice. First of all, you're defeated, but you've got to leave. You ever stay at somebody's house, you could tell they wanted you to leave? I've stayed in a few homes. Praise the Lord. You know, and they gave you, at first they were real hospitable and gave you their bedroom. And then the husband pulls you over the side after about, 80 or 90 weeks. That's what the wife's thinking it is, you know. What you doing today? You know it's coming. The other shoe's going to fall. See? Because when you came, it's, listen, you stay as long as you want to. This house is yours. They don't mean that. You know. Oh, man. I had this preacher come stay at my house. Oh! It ain't funny. I came down the next morning. He's sitting in my chair where I read my scriptures. Huh! Grinning. You don't grin in the morning. You guys are laughing. It's not funny. He's in my chair reading his Bible, grinning. I don't have another chair. I thought, okay, this is a problem. And I'm one of those Christians, I don't need any love scriptures. I've already got this mastered. There's no one I hate. So don't be giving me, you know, I had a person put a love book on my seat at a meeting. I came back from going to the restroom or something, there's a love book there. I thought, I don't need this. It ticked me off. I thought, who put this on here? I'm at a camp meeting, who put this on here? Someone trying to say something? What's funny? I walk in love. You know, it's like, okay. I come downstairs and the guy's in my chair. Eating my porridge, sleeping in my bed. You know. I don't know when he's going. The bad thing is I don't know when he's leaving. I'd said, as long as you want to stay, you can stay. And his wife, you know. His wife waxed my kitchen floor. It was a brand new place, no wax floors. It's just amazing. I never had a no wax floor. I did floor covering. This is no wax. I'm thinking, hey, all you do is wet mop it, and it shines. She totaled it. And then I had a lady come over and watch my pets or something, and the vinyl I had in the kitchen was soft vinyl on wood, not concrete. And I came home and there was holes in my vinyl floor. A new, brand new place. She had wore the tips of rubber off her high heels. She had spiked heels and she didn't know it. Everywhere she walked in my, if my whole house was vinyl, you could have followed her through my house. Never told her. So I had one lady come and stay with her husband. And she totaled my floor. The next place I moved to, brand new floor. Another lady came and watched the pets and totaled my kitchen with her heels. Of course, the devil would say, don't let anybody else in your house. Look what they've done. Look at your floor. I'd worry about this a lot. I'd stress out over it. The devil knows what buttons to push if he hears you talk. He'll just keep running that same trial to you. Folks, I flunked so many tests that he brought. And you just got to keep taking them. And I was acquainted with the Word. We're not talking about some dear soul that wasn't taught anything. And they just didn't know. God doesn't want anybody to worry about anything. Depressed about nothing. Depression is from Satan. It comes as a real problem, tries to tell you, but nothing is more real than God's Word. People tell us when, you know, people that don't worry, they'll tell them, well, you don't have sense enough to worry. If you had good sense, you'd worry about this. You're not dealing with reality. We don't deny reality. We take the Word of God and change it to make it conform to God's Word. And I was working with that on finances. And I was working with that on healing. But I wasn't doing anything emotionally. You can't leave these areas out. Just like the devil messed me up and told me I wasn't saved, same thing in anything else. If you don't know some scripture, or you don't respond with verses, he messes you up. You understand? Find scripture in your Bible and just keep rereading them. You're writing down everything, brother? For a written transcript. Okay, so, hey, praise the Lord. You know. Did you take any notes today? No, but... Well, praise the Lord. I shared that with you because I want you to know what I did was wrong. Take God's word. Take those promises. Find promises that cover your problem. If you don't know of any, ask someone. Maybe you think that they do know some scriptures. And use them. And go to work on not letting the devil intimidate you. Because he'll do it with anything he can. The way you look, the way you are, where you're from, where you're going, anything. He'll try to beat you up. We don't walk in our strength. We walk in God's. We're the righteous of God in Christ. We've been saved by the grace of God and the faith. We have the faith of God. Everything Jesus has, he's already given it to us. He defeated the devil. He set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And like you used to hear preachers say, just go ahead and scoot up the table and start eating. What's ever prepared for there in the Word of God belongs to you in Jesus' name. Don't wait for somebody else to get a hold of it. You grab it now and start using it in Jesus' name. And you start talking to stuff. Go home and talk to stuff. Go home and talk to the devil. Talk every time he wakes you up, you talk to him. Satan, you're a liar in Jesus' name. You're under my feet. You're defeated. That's a lie in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life, stretch the crown of thy love and kindness, tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God, we thank that every day we're renewed. We go in the strength of God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read this to you. The Bible says here in verse 12 and verse 13. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13. The Holy Spirit through Peter said this, wherefore I will not be neglect to put you, what's the next word? Always in remembrance these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, my body, to stir you up, put in your remembrance. Now, the scripture says here from the New Living Bible. So I intend always to remind you about these things, although indeed you know them, and are firm in the truth that you now hold. I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, tent body, to stir you up, to always put your remembrance these things. Those scriptures that I'd hear over and over again when I go to meetings. I went to Brother Copeland services in Illinois, Detroit, Michigan, at Cobo Hall, Peoria, Illinois, Louisville, Kentucky, Indianapolis, Indiana, Dayton, Ohio. And he read the same scriptures in all the services in about a year's period of time. I don't know nothing. I'm just going to turn all the words. Read so is the word. I didn't know these scriptures in the Bible, that no matter how established you are in God's word, God will keep getting you reestablished in it over and over again by repetition. This guy was talking about was in the military. He's talking about apparently the boot camp, or he was going through maybe special training. But he had this weapon. And all the guys in this group had this weapon. And I won't be able to do it in this room, but they went through all the training, but they taught them about their... Yeah, but I got 50 of them. Thanks, Steve. So, you know, They're going through all the same, but they were drilled about their enemy. And they may be trained for 2 or 3 years on special ops and just go on one special op. They don't know how many they're going to, they may never get to go on one. Or be called down, you know, be sent out and then called back. And it got to be just routine. Taking the weapon apart, putting it together. And so we're in the room, and all of a sudden our instructor barks out these orders and turns out the lights. It's pitch dark. And yells, take your weapon apart. Well, we never done it in the dark. And so we fumble around, all of us guys, and got our weapons apart. Now hurry up. Put them back together. The enemy's coming. Hurry, hurry. Well, they've never put them together in the dark. Hurry up. They're coming. You're being invaded. And we cumbersomely got all the, we thought we knew these weapons. But in darkness, we couldn't see them. They were training us, no matter what the circumstances was, you know your weapon. Inside and out. You don't want the gym. You want to keep it clean. I don't think about any of that stuff. But the first thing I thought about is the Word of God. That's why you keep rehearsing in those promises. That's why you keep going over that. That's why you keep praising God and using God's word, is because you're getting more familiar. It's just your first nature. Something comes up. A person that's word-minded, and I confess I am, a person word-minded, something comes up, sister, the first thing they think of is what a verse says. What does the Bible say about this? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Y'all ready for communion?